Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring you on all the Healthy Alternative shows. My guest I'm going to be talking to in a few minutes is Dr. Ron Minson. Dr. Minson received medical training at UCLA School of Medicine. He's board certified in psychiatry and neurology. He served as a family physician, clinical psychiatrist, and chief of psychiatry at 2 teaching hospitals in the Denver area. However, due to severe learning problems his daughter was having, it forced him out of the medical model. In 1989, he studied with Dr. Tomatis in France, and he learned the effectiveness of sound therapy for treating a number of learning, attention, behavioral problems, and he's become an expert in that, and he's going to share his knowledge and wisdom as to how we can use this sound technology for real healing. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. This week, I want to talk about prescription sleeping pills. The National Institutes of Health found that sleeping pills like Ambien, Lunesta, Sonata actually reduce the average sleeping time to go to sleep by just under 13 minutes compared with a fake placebo pill. And it increased total sleep time by just over 11 minutes. However, participants believe they had slept longer by up to 1 hour when they took the pills. And sleeping pills are making your brain less active. It can actually wind up impairing memory and performance. That's on the surface of the difficulties. There's now research that's come out showing that sleeping pills can actually increase by fourfold the risk of death and also increase cancer risks. This was from a study of more than 10,500 people, and they received drugs for poor sleep. And what happened was just taking sleeping pills, even if they took as few as 18 pills, jumped their risk of dying. As a matter of fact, fewer than 18 pills, they elevated their risk of dying 3.6 times versus those who took no pills. If they wound up taking over 132 pills a year, then they died 5.3 times as often. So basically, those who were taking over 132 sleeping pills a year were 35% more likely to die and also develop cancer. Now, in this study, they actually matched people for age, sex, smoking history, but they still found if you took lots of sleeping pills, you could wind up with cancer, 35% more likely to develop cancer. So look at other alternatives. One of the things that works, besides looking at some herbs that you can take, there are some amino acids you could take, and also a cognitive behavior therapy that's also useful. Some of the brain gym work that I teach, specifically hookups and positive points, can also be helpful. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a free monthly e-newsletter that has different information from Healthy Alternatives on it. You can sign up for that at teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you click on the About Home button at the top navigation and you can sign up there. Every week, I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest discoveries, latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. What I want to talk about today are panic attacks. The wisdom has been you get a panic attack that you want to take deep breaths. While this approach can work for some people, a recent study from Southern Methodist University looked at this and found that taking deep breaths during a panic attack may not actually be a good idea. See, people in the throes of a panic attack often mistakenly feel as though they're not getting enough oxygen, so they compensate by deep breaths. Deep breathing can lead to hyperventilation. It also causes an excessive loss of carbon dioxide out of the body. And carbon dioxide, a lack of that, constricts blood vessels and airways and triggers all kind of symptoms, including dizziness, increased anxiety. What the researchers found is that shallow breathing is what really works. In the study, they had their patients practice shallow breathing before they could employ the technique, but when they needed it, it worked. So, if you get a panic attack, somebody you know gets a panic attack, tell them to take slow, shallow breaths for just 2 to 4 minutes, because what that does, it replaces the depleted CO2 and the anxiety will disappear very quickly. Before I bring on my guest, Dr. Ron Minson, I'd like to talk to you about a book that I've done called Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. If you got stress going on for you, this book was designed specifically to give you tools and techniques you can use immediately to handle your stress. It even covers an area called Shiatsu, which is a Japanese pressure technique. It'll show you how to get rid of headaches in 90 seconds, migraines 5 minutes, sinus colds, stiff neck, and sore shoulders, and much, much, much more in the book. You can either go to Amazon.com to order it or go to teplitz.com. You click on the products button. It's a great book. I hope you take advantage of it. My guest today is Dr. Ron Minson. He is currently the clinical director and advanced trainer for Integrated Listening Systems. It's a company which combines an auditory program with visual balance and movement exercises for improving brain function in autism, learning disabilities, and brain injury. As one of the leading authorities on the clinical application of sound, Dr. Minson writes and presents to medical and educational audiences on the use of a multi-sensory approach to improving brain function. He received his medical training at UCLA School of Medicine. He's board certified in psychiatry and neurology, and his experiences have included serving as a family physician, clinical psychiatrist, and past chief of psychiatry at 2 teaching hospitals in Denver. He originally got involved with the notion of auditory from the work of Dr. Tomatis in France. And since then, he went on his own to study a number of different sound therapy systems. And in 2000, he developed his own system of sound therapy, and he began training professionals internationally. Dr. Minson, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be with you and your audience.
So you went from what looks like a more traditional doc in terms of background and everything. How did you start getting involved in these kinds of directions?
Well, you're right. It was a very traditional practice that I had, and it took a personal experience to get me out of the, not out of, but add to the clinical work that I was doing out of the box and looking more broadly, because I have a daughter who at that time was only 6 years old. I'm sorry, she was 19 years old when we received the treatment from Dr. Tomatis, but when she was 6 years old, she was diagnosed with dyslexia, not an uncommon disorder for children in going to school where they have trouble reading and writing. But in my daughter's case, she had this difficulty reading, and yet it did not respond to any of the therapies, speech and language therapy, tutors, educational therapy, special education. And to be brief, by the time she was in junior high school, she had become quite depressed over her inability to function at the level of her peers. And then at 19, she had the second of two rather severe life-threatening depression. I'd heard about a method for working with dyslexia that came out of France. The physician in me thought it sounded rather strange, but certainly as a parent, I had to do whatever we could to finally, hopefully, find a solution for her reading and learning disability problem.
So you kind of were at last chance type of feeling.
We really were. As a parent, Jerry, I have to confess, and many of your audiences have experienced this, I was desperate and frightened for my daughter's future. So we did this sound therapy together, and not only did her reading improve, and she was able to ultimately get a high school diploma by correspondence, but what caused me to change and add careers in a sense and add this to my practice was that her depression that had been unremitting and unresponsive to traditional therapies like antidepressants and other psychotherapeutic medications and stimulants, none of those worked. And she emerged right out of that depression with the sound therapy. So that was highly remarkable. And here was a intervention that was non-invasive and had no side effects, and it worked. So that's what led me on my quest to learn more about this.
Now, do they normally require the parent to go through the training with the child?
No, not at all. I was very curious, since this was a therapy which was strange and foreign to us, and I wanted to know more about it. Plus, the center that we went to was a number of miles away, and it wasn't even safe to leave my daughter at that time in a hotel on her own because she was so suicidal. So I decided to experience the program for myself as well.
So a little what the heck became a life changer for you as well.
Very well put, exactly.
Great. So then you started to work with his work, and then you started evolving your own. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about?
Yes, well, his work was foundational in any listening therapy in the country. It owes a great deal of credit to Dr. Tomatis, since he was the pioneer of all of these therapies. But after a while, the equipment and the tapes that we were using were getting outdated, and so I developed a system called Dynamic Listening System at that time, whereby we used better recordings, higher frequency responses, doing this in real time. And so we, having developed our own equipment, that also set the stage for me to be able to train others in this field of sound therapy, which I began doing in the year 2000.
So describe a little bit then, what does integrative listening look like as a therapy?
This is where I wish we had some visuals, which are hard to accomplish on a radio show.
Paint a picture with your voice.
I'll do it. All right. So imagine you have your child or yourself listening with headphones, and these are special headphones. They have been retrofitted with a little oscillator. It looks like the old-fashioned hearing aids that goes in the top of the headphone, and that vibrates along with the music. So the listener is getting music that's recorded, put on an iPod, which is piggybacked onto a special custom-made amplifier. And so they're listening through headphones that look like anything else other than the fact that there is this bone conductor. And then, which actually causes a very subtle and gentle vibration to another part of the inner ear called the vestibular system. So they get both air and bone conduction, auditory and vestibular input. We have balance boards, bean bags, hanging tennis balls in order to provide other sensory input to the nervous system at the same time that they're doing the listening. It also comes with a little hip pack or belt pack so they can have this system strapped to them and yet have total freedom of movement so they can be doing yoga, jumping on a trampoline, playing games like Wii, and so forth. So there's no restriction of movement while doing this.
So the kid has their headset on, and so you're stimulating their brain and the auditory system this way just while they're doing other things.
That is correct, but the brain and auditory system, but the visual system through the hanging tennis ball and other activities like figure of eights with their hands, touch, movement, something called proprioception, which is the joint system, the joint awareness. And these are important because many, many children with autism and learning disabilities not only have difficulty cognitively, but they also have difficulty controlling their body. They don't know where their body is in space. They have low muscle tone. They have a lack of balance, coordination. Little boys at 9 years old still have their training wheels on. So by giving this multisensory input, the brain reorganizes, and they make very, very rapid maturational changes with this multisensory input.
So when a kid has these headsets on, are they able to easily, like, I can just imagine a parent starting to yell at the kid because they can't hear them because they got the headset on. Are they able to still hear what's going on around them?
Yes, they are, and you don't even have to yell at them to get their attention unless they have selective hearing because they don't want to hear what the parent has to say.
So that's a different issue, sir.
That's a different issue. But they definitely can hear with these on, absolutely.
Do you find it works better for some populations versus others, types of kids who have problems?
That's a really good question. When I first started, the children that we saw 20 years ago are categorically different than the children we see today. They had presentations which were relatively mild along the lines of learning disabilities, attention problems, coordination and balance issues. And all of those respond extremely well across the board, and they still do. What we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years, the children being born now and developing have rather significant and at times severe developmental delays in maturation. An obvious and flagrant example of this right now is the autism. When I started doing this work in the 1990s, the incidence was 1 in about 10,000. And now the incidence of autism is about 1 in every 89 to 90 live births. So it's a field that, in general, most people have a great deal of difficulty getting changes in. But fortunately and unexpectedly, the results that we're getting have far exceeded my hopes and expectations. We are seeing really profound changes also in autism, although they do take longer to get back to your question. So the more involved the brain is neurodevelopmentally, the longer it might take. But the basic learning, attention, energy, and coordination problems, sensory processing disorders respond extremely well, as do those who have suffered concussions or traumatic brain injuries.
So when you say it takes longer, what would be, from your standpoint, working with an autistic kid, what would long look like?
It depends, again, because autism has a huge spectrum of disorders, but for a severely involved autistic child, we might be looking at 2 years. For one that's higher functioning on the spectrum, anywhere from 3 to 6 months.
So real variable, but you can, even in the two-year kid, you can make an enormous difference in how they function in life.
Absolutely, and I'm just so gratified that we are seeing these kind of changes. And I think partly, Jerry, because autism really is a disorder that involves multiple sensory systems. And one of the things that ILS is it's a multisensory simultaneous input. So neuroscience has already pointed out that the more stimulation that the brain receives simultaneously, the better its organization, the better its function, and the speed of processing. So I think because it's multisensory, we are having a huge impact on improvement.
It's really a use me or lose me kind of system. So that's interesting. So before we continue talking to my guest, Dr. Ron Minson, I'd like to remind you, listen to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be back with Dr. Minson in just a moment.
Nowadays, it's the contacts you have that can make a difference in how successful you are, both social media networking with folks and also physically networking with folks. If that's an area of difficulty, you want to look at getting the book I did with Donna Fisher called Switched On Networking, Balance Your Brain for Networking Success. Donna is an expert in networking. She's written many books on it, including the Dummies book on effective professional networking. What I do in the book, she does the techniques, and I do at the end of each chapter this concept of brain rewiring to switch you on for everything that Donna is telling you to do. So if you've got a block, you can clear it immediately. You can find the book at switchedonnetworking.com. Switchedonnetworking.com. You'll also see gifts from friends of mine that you can get when you order it, or you can just simply go to amazon.com. Switched On Networking, Balance Your Brain for Networking Success.
So my guest today is Dr. Ron. He is currently Clinical Director and Advanced Trainer for Integrated Listening Systems. It's a company that combines an auditory program with visual, balance, and movement exercises for improving brain function in autism, learning disabilities, and brain injury. He's one of the leading authorities on the clinical application of sound. His background is he received his medical training at UCLA School of Medicine. He's board certified in psychiatry and neurology. And he's originally worked with Dr. Tomatis in France as he was talking about developing effective sound therapy for treating all kinds of learning, attention, behavior problems. And now he also trains professionals internationally in his own system. And so, Dr. Minson, can you give us a little clearer picture as to how using the sound and the movement and all that, how does it all integrate together to make the kind of changes you're talking about?
Sure. The brain grows by sensory input. So without sensory input, you don't get any growth. A lot of the studies that have come out in the last few years keep showing that the area of deficient functioning is in the cortex, or what we call the gray matter, the roof. But in fact, what's actually going on is that the information being processed between below the cortex, below that roof or gray matter, all the sensory input comes into the spinal cord, the brainstem, and other structures that are below the cortex. So we believe that what we are doing is improving the processing of subcortical information that then improves cortical or cognitive functioning. So the roof needs a good solid foundation. And then finally, based on what everyone by now has heard of, known as neuroplasticity, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the brain changes its form, its function in response to stimulation or any kind of sensory input. So fortunately, we have a brain that's malleable, it's changeable, it's not fixed, and it's not fixed in function, but rather can be changed all the way throughout our entire lifespan, which is good news for all of us.
Now, is there research out there that's been done on your approach?
There is some research, by all means, and I would hope the listeners might go to our website that we can give at the end of the conversation.
Well, why don't you give it now, we'll give it at the end again.
The website is called integratedlistening.com, so that's www.integratedlistening.com. We have quite a bit of research on there. A couple of those that I will highlight. I was just a speaker at a national autism conference in San Diego 2 weeks ago, where I reported on the research done for autism by the Spiral Foundation. So this is independent study, and the research involved 18 children with autism, all of whom showed definite change and improvement, some remarkably so. So much so that they were no longer carried the diagnosis of autism. And this is almost unheard of. One of the biggest challenges in working with autistic children is to help them develop communication and become relational. And that is one area in which we saw the greatest amount of change was in terms of improved social engagement. There's a study that we also have on our website that shows the improvement in auditory brainstem response, which is one of the foundations of an auditory processing disorder. That's an objective measure, and this is very powerful. Then we also have studies underway currently. One of those is helping the military, the wounded veterans coming back from overseas, improve their functioning who've suffered traumatic brain injury. And we also have some sleep studies underway as well.
So can you give us a story of one of your clients and the kind of where they were and the kind of change that happened in them?
Well, I can, and actually I'd like to use a new device that we have recently developed called the ILS pillow. And this pillow is shaped kind of like a pillow, although it has an ergonomic shape, and it has the bone conductors inside. And I forgot to mention that the sound source that people are listening to through their headphones or bone conduction is all classical music. It has all been treated professionally and psychoacoustically, but there's no hidden messages or subliminal messages. It's all music. There was a young girl who, at 9 years of age, was only sleeping 3 to 5 hours a night since birth. She was also diagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia. Her first night on this little pillow, where she lays her head on it and listens to the music through the bone conductors, she slept 8 to 9 hours. And then she did the same for the next 6 nights. This pillow was loaned to her by one of the therapists that we've trained, and the ability to maintain that sleep did not last, so she went back to her 3 to 5 hours per night, which proves that it was, in fact, the pillow that was making the difference. And, of course, the parents then went out and bought one so they could help her regain her sleep. And once she's done this for over time, it will become permanent. Another case that quickly comes to mind is I really, really like working with people with concussions, teenagers, and others, because the brain is so malleable, it can be, its function can be improved. So traumatic brain injury, I think of a woman who was a professor at a university, has suffered 2 traumatic brain injuries 4 and 2 years before I saw her. She was on 12 medications, no energy, was retired medically from her professorship, and after working with us for 5 weeks, I'm sorry, about 3 months, she was able to then get a job as a secretary. She was off all of her medications, no longer under any pain, and able to concentrate, focus, and attend for significant periods of time. And significantly, people with head injuries often are at risk of having another head injury because of their depth perception and reflexes being so bad. And these also improved in her. And she was 56 years old.
So is this something that you have to go to one of the people you've trained professionally, or can a parent use it at home with their kids?
This is one of the beauties of the integrated listening system, Jerry. In 2000 and up until then, from 1990, people had to come to a clinic. And in 2007, when we developed the integrated listening system, which is portable, and it fulfilled a dream of mine to have this system in schools, in homes, nursing homes, hospitals, so you do not have to go to a clinic to do this. We have 2 training programs, 1 4 days long, which is very in-depth for advanced practitioners, and a 1 day program to train practitioners to either use it in their clinic, but also to supervise people at home, parents at home, to use it for themselves or their children. So it is something you don't have to be, only go to a clinic to be able to benefit from.
But you would still need to have some kind of supervision.
Absolutely. You cannot purchase the listening systems online or directly, but by going to the website, you can find a locator which will show you where a therapist might be in your area. We also have trained therapists who are trained to do this a long distance and supervise someone. But yes, it must be supervised by a trained therapist.
What kind of costs is somebody looking at for, say, if they were just going to a practitioner versus if they were going to be using it at home?
It's harder to answer the question with regard to a practitioner. They would be charging a fee, which is the usual and customary fee in their area, depending on their specialty, such as occupational therapy or speech therapy. And, of course, the fees for service are greater in New York than they would be in Kansas, let's say. The device itself is not a medical device, so we cannot charge for that as a medical device. But the devices or the equipment ranges from $395 up to $2,000, and that's for the equipment itself. So when we train a therapist, they buy the equipment and use it in their clinic or rent it to the family at home or sell the equipment to them at home. So there's a range of different products.
depending on what the therapist is doing and the needs of the client.
Would it be covered by health insurance at all?
No, it is not, since it's not a medical device.
Okay. What's the level of acceptance that you've been seeing over the years with doing this therapy?
Well, it certainly has grown. When I was trained in 1989 and 90, even though I had a good reputation here in Denver, I was looked at rather askance and suspiciously when I came back and told my colleague friends what I was doing. So, and at that time, I was the only physician trained in the United States. So in the year 2008, when we launched our the integrated listening system, we trained 100 therapists that year. And this year, we're on track to train 1,500 therapists. And this represents a figure of several thousands of people who are being treated with this intervention and technology. It's grown exponentially over, I would say, the last 5 to almost 10 years. People are much more aware of the fact that sound therapy has an effect on the brain. They are aware that music is also important. So fortunately, we're in an era now where the acceptance is very widespread and continues to grow all the time.
Are you finding, instead of like you did as last resort, people are now even looking at you as first go around before they go regular drugs and that stuff?
We are, definitely. First go-around might be a little less common, but certainly as they get acquainted with an occupational therapist, let's take a speech therapist, someone like that who is trying to help them with articulation or reading. More and more therapists know of our work, so we might be second or third round without being the last resort, by all means. And we do have parents calling us directly looking for someone to help them.
So if listeners who would like to learn more about what Dr. Ron Minson's doing and how you can use this for yourself or your family, you can go to his website at integratedlistening.com. That's integratedlistening.com. Dr. Minson, thanks for being our guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you so much for having me.
My guest next week is going to be Dr. Irene Cohn. She's a doctor, a psychiatrist, acupuncturist, interfaith minister, and student of the Course in Miracles. She's recently written the book Soul Journey to Love, 100 Days to Inner Peace. This is a book that's about meditation. It's looking at ways that you can really make differences in your life from just taking a few minutes a day. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.